praise the Lord for him. And he mentioned last night too, or the other night, I guess, when I talked to him, that what a blessing the young ladies were when they sang on Thursday, and they were a blessing as well. Just praise the Lord. Jacqueline did a tremendous job. Appreciate her. And the Lord's blessed us with a lot of talent. And praise the Lord. I'm thankful that each of them tried to use their talent for the Lord in the right ways. So thank the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We've been looking at this chapter and going through the book of Corinthians on our Sunday nights. And again, we looked at the delivery to the church in chapter 1, and then there were divisions in the church, and then we looked at discipline in the church, and now we're looking at some areas here in these chapters that some of the Corinthians were having difficulties in the church, things that they were having to deal with, and Paul's giving them counsel and direction from the Lord here. And we've been talking about here in chapter number 7, Paul's talking about the matter of marriage. And he discusses, of course, if you're married, praise the Lord, continue to serve God. If you're single, praise the Lord, and continue to serve God. If we talked about last Sunday night, that if there is a separation, continue to serve God. And he gives the direction there about what the Bible teaches about divorce and God's opinion on that. And we stay hold to the fact that the Bible says very simply that God hates that putting away, the book of Malachi says. And then it's something that God hates. We should do our best to always avoid that as well. The Lord Jesus Christ's words are very simple. What God hath put together, let not man put asunder. It's God's intention that the person that you marry, you stay married to the rest of your life. And that's why it's important to young people that you take very seriously who you marry. You don't just date around anybody, making a game out of that. This is important. Next to your salvation, it's the most important decision you will ever make. And so we take it seriously. And he talks about this, and we're right in the middle of that. And we get down here to verse number 18 is where we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we've had a discussion, and now he makes a digression. All right, he's going to stray away, hit something, and then come back to marriage. But if you're able to, let's stand as we read our scriptures here. We'll read verse number 18. Lord willing, we'll go to the end of the chapter tonight, but we'll see whatever God gives us. But in verse number 18 says this, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, and be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though that had none. And they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth not, or careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather tonight. It's good to be in your house. It's good to sing your praises. It's good to fellowship with believers. And God, I pray that you'd use the message now as we are studying this book that you've given us. I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, make us to understand the way of thy precepts, and so shall we talk of thy wondrous works. Give us understanding. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to us, please, in ways that only the Spirit of God can teach us. And God, may our hearts be open. And Lord, instruct us and protect us using your word today. And we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now, most of you know my father. My father's had many sayings that he uses all the time still. I can't tell you how many times we've been somewhere and someone's done something and my dad says, quote, "You're a good man. Not many of us left." He says that all the time. He said other things like, he said one time about makeup. He said, "If the barn needs painting, always paint it." All right, that's what he said. And my mom didn't think that was funny. He said many times if something was delicious, it would make a tadpole slap a whale. He said, "Grow it with teenagers, unnecessary rules always breed rebellion." I could go on and tell you all kinds of other sayings that he said. But one of them that he said, that you've probably heard many times if you were around during those years, he said this, "Bloom where you're planted." Bloom where you're planted. Wherever God has you, then use it all for his glory. That's what Paul's saying in this chapter. Paul's saying, and he addresses all different conditions that people may find themselves when it comes to marriage, and then he digresses to some other areas. But the fact is this, wherever you are and however God has you, then use the most for his glory. Serve him and please him. We're jumping back in here. We see the matter of marriage. He have his discussion in verses 1 to 17. And then we're coming now to this digression in verses 18 to 24. If you follow along real quick, you'll see a couple of things, I think. Number one, you'll see a spiritual issue in verses 18 and 19. He covers the area again. He says, is any man called being circumcised? He says, now, you may find yourself called or as being a born-again believer, and if you're circumcised or whether you are not, it really doesn't matter, he says there in verse number 19. It's nothing whether you are or whether you are not. But the main thing is, are you following God's word? Now, why that's even an issue is because back in that day, there were many Jews that were trying to insist that if any man was going to be quote-unquote a believer, any Gentile that got saved, that they would have to become a Jew in order to go to heaven. Paul even went to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 and for the only purpose of addressing this issue and saying, you're wrong. And if you remember, he used Titus as an illustration. And here is a Gentile, and he's a born-again soul winner, loves the Lord. God is using this man. But this is a topic that is very important to him. He even withstood Peter to the face, talking to him about this issue and others, that this isn't the truth. That would make this a work in order to obtain salvation, and that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works. But the Jews were insisting on this. So obviously this had passed into the church at Corinth, and there's people arguing about this. They were, and Paul basically, and he simply says this because he's been talking about, again, if you remember, it doesn't matter if you're married, whether you're single, whatever condition you find yourself in, just serve God. And then he said, while I'm talking about this, there's a little debate going on of whether you should be circumcised or not in order to be a believer. That's a Jewish thing, and those things are not so. and all that matters is that you follow the word of God. So we go on. There's a spiritual issue, then a social issue. In verses 20 to 21, a social issue. Verse 20 to 24. The social issue is talking about now slavery. Now back in those days, there were masters who owned slaves. And it was just as bad as when you read in history today about things that took place, but it was even worse back in those days. We have, of course, the entire book of Philemon, which talks about a slave that ran away but got saved, and Paul's instructions on how to handle that situation. But in any case, here in this passage of Scripture, he talks about, obviously, there were people in the church. Now, again, you've got to put yourself back in these times. In the church at Corinth, there were people from all different kinds of aspects that were getting saved and joining the church. I mean, there were Jews that were saved and joined the church. There were Gentiles. There were obviously now in the church married people, single people, separated, widows. They're all in the church. And then we also know from their background that there was people coming from all kinds of very bad backgrounds living in the city of Corinth, a very lust-driven place. And they had to handle a lot of different situations. And so one of these now is there are obviously people who at one time and were currently slaves and servants, and they had gotten saved. Now, how do you handle that? And he talks about this. You see the secular sphere of it in verse 20 and 21. It says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather." Now again, he said, if you're a Jew, fine, be a Jew, serve the Lord. If you're a Gentile, fine, be a Gentile, serve the Lord. Now what if you're a servant and a slave? Now understand, back then, if you're a servant and you ran away from your master, the penalty for that was death. They could literally have them put to death for being a rebellious slave. And so Paul is very careful in how he deals with this. He again gives this instruction that if you are, in verse number 21, a servant, care not for it. Or in other words, that's fine. It's not a big deal. If you're a servant, then fine, be a servant. Now, verse number 20 says that every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. So, however you were, you know, whatever the situation is, all right, that's fine. Whenever you got saved, however you find yourself, just keep serving God. Now, I'd say this real quick. Verse number 20 is used out of context all the time. And sometimes many people, even pastors and preachers sometimes, use this verse out of context. Unfortunately, they say, you know, God called me to preach, and no matter what I've done with my life, I still have that calling. That's not what that verse is saying. You can become disqualified from the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon and other things. And that's not what this verse. All you have to do is look at context. He's saying no matter where you find yourself, however, whether you're single, married, widowed, separated, or whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, or whether you're a servant, however you find yourself, you got saved, fine, just keep serving God. And what he's given instruction here is that, you know, some people, I think, just from reading it, had probably, obviously, they wrote Paul a letter. He's responding to this letter. We know that from other things we've read. And so, obviously, there's some who are saying, hey, I'm a slave and I got saved. My master's God. I shouldn't have this master here on this earth. And some people maybe are trying to use that as a way out of being a slave. Maybe the other way, hey, I'm a slave owner. How do I treat this as being a Christian? And he's covering all this. And he's going to talk about all this. And the bottom line is this, however you find yourself, just serve God. You see this social sphere, then the sacred sphere in verse number 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Now he covers this now, and he says, first of all, that we have a duty here in verse number 22. He that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. If you're a servant and you get saved, praise the Lord. The Lord has set you free from all that, you know, spiritually held you captive. You've been set free from that. Praise the Lord. If you are already a believer and you're a free person, understand this, you are a servant of God. So really what he's painting the picture here is this: if you're a slave, great, Christ has set you free from all that sin held you captive, but you are free in that aspect, but we're servants of the Lord. So therefore, as a servant of the Lord, and you compare Scripture with other Scriptures, how are servants to be? Servants obey your masters as unto the Lord. So what's the context? Just serve God. If you're going to be a slave, if that's where God has you, then be the greatest Christian slave that you ever can be. My dad always told me growing up, he always encouraged me and say, you just keep serving God. Whatever God wants you to do, do it. He said, if God wants you to be a missionary, fine. A preacher, fine. An accountant, fine. He told me, I can't tell you how many times I heard my dad say this, if God wants you to be a garbage man, then you be the greatest Christian garbage man there's ever been. Whatever God's leading and calling in is your life, great, then do it. But be a Christian. Serve God. So he covers, this is our duty, no matter where you find yourself, we've been set free. Yet, now understand that some of the slaves are saying, hey, I'm saved, I'm set free, I don't have to have a master now. But no, you still do. You have been set free, but we're all still servants to the Lord. That's our duty. Then you see the debt in verse number 23. For ye are bought with a price, be not ye therefore the servants of men. We've been set free by the blood. We talked about it this morning. We've been set free, and we owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's that mean then where it says, be not their servants of men? When you compare all these scriptures with scripture, what he's saying is this: you don't have, even though, I mean, I'll just use Brother Mullis here as an illustration so you all get it, right? I'm not saying I don't know his condition fully, right? But let's say that Brother Mullis has the worst boss in the world, right? Now, he may have the greatest boss in the world, right? But let's say that he has the worst boss in the world, and I mean, this person is just terrible, right? Now, if that person's a slave driver, I mean, just pushing him and pushing him, he gets saved and he says, hey, I don't have to take this anymore, right? I don't have to work for that person. No, if that's where God has him, if that's God's will for his life, he needs to stay there and be the best Christian example in that business that he can. You say, but that master's still there, and that boss is still over him and making his life miserable. But guess what? He can go to work every day and say, you know, I have to live with this, but she is not my Lord. I have someone far greater. And as long as he settles in his mind that his duty in life is to please his Lord, the rest becomes much easier. And what he's saying there is this: you don't have to live under this burden of serving people. You serve God. And however you find yourself, just keep serving God. You see the debt there in verse number 23. Then you see the dwelling in verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. No matter where you find yourself, whatever happens, make sure you're abiding with God. For many times in our Christian life, our life becomes dominated by circumstances or people. Sometimes our life just kind of gets blinded, where all we think about is maybe that person. Maybe that, you know, we just can't seem to get along with. Or that person who hates your guts. Or maybe a circumstance that just seems overwhelming and too much. And sometimes we get this in our life, and that seems to be our dwelling. That's where we live. And what Paul's saying is this: no, you abide with God. If you're a slave, fine. But every morning you wake up, you talk to God. Every day when you go out and do your duty, just do it for the Lord. When your life is about the Lord, you'd be amazed what you're able to get through. I guess if I can just make it real practical tonight, if you hate maybe a situation you're in, you may despise that situation. That gives you even more reason to make sure you are walking with God, you're near God, you're spending time with God, talking to God, listening to God, because then that dominates your life. And these other things aren't the biggest burdens in your life. You're able to go on with the Lord's help. So he says, again, bloom where you're planted. You see here this digression. Now we get to a declaration in verses 25 to 40 to the end of the chapter. Paul gives some advice here in verse number 25. He says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now, again, in context, what's he saying? We've already talked about this. Towards the beginning of this chapter, he said, hey, I don't speak, I have the Lord's command. And he's obviously talking about where we referenced there in Matthew and in Mark, where the Lord gave his command when it came to marriage. What God had put together, let no man put asunder. We had the Lord's word on that. Now he's covering some situations. This does not mean, hey, this is just my opinion, take it or leave it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, we don't have the Lord's command on this, but the Lord is speaking through me as his apostle. And so, as we know from all the other scriptures, that the Holy Spirit moved upon men as they gave us the word of God. And so he's not saying this is my opinion. He's saying, now, God is speaking through me now, and so you need to heed what's being said. Now, when we talk about virgins here in these next few verses, he's talking about people who are not married. Young men, young ladies who are still living at home. I don't know if you've caught this chapter, but this chapter is extremely practical. He gives instructions for husbands and wives. He gives instructions for singles that aren't married. He gives instructions for widows. He gives instructions for those who are facing separation. And again, the only reason why it's given, he does not ever endorse divorce in this passage of Scripture. But he only says there may be a depart if you're married to an unbeliever, which should only happen if you got married before you were saved. Because as a believer, he already says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But some, especially in this church, had found herself in a position where they were saved, but their spouse was not. And he said, stay with them. If they're pleased to dwell with you, then dwell with them. You be the best example that you can, and the Lord's going to be working on that person. Remember, he sanctifies that person, begins to work on their heart, and Lord willing, they get saved. That's the goal. But if they choose to depart, then he says, you're loosed from that, then they're going to depart. You can't stop that, and you can't chase them around. Well, now he's going to cover now for mom and dad, who have young men and young ladies still living at home. They're not married. You know, how should we as parents handle this situation? They obviously had written letters. Now, let's go back in the time of Corinth before we hit this real quick. Nero is on the throne. If you don't know much about Nero, he sure wouldn't have liked you, all right? There's great persecution. Even Paul himself had led it, and it hadn't got any better. It's getting a lot worse. And so these people were writing, and some of their spirit was this, knowing what's going on, should my children be getting married? You say, well, of course they should. And Paul says that's fine. It's not a sin if they get married. But they were facing perilous times. And the reality is this, that if, on the front row, I'm making up people, right? We always do Tom and Susie. If Tom and Susie, sitting in the church at Corinth, get married, they're probably going to face some very difficult times. Probably living in Corinth in the next few years, Tom's, if he continues being a Christian, is going to be put to death. Someone may come and take Tom out of the home or threaten to kill Susie. That was their life. We're very blessed to live in a time that we live in, because that happened a lot in history, and it's going to happen again. But that was the situation in which they were living. So you can understand the concern. Well, how should we handle this? What should we do? So you see Paul's advice, the context of it. He said, I'm giving you what the Lord's leading me. What's the content of it in verse number 26 down to verse number 28? First of all, you see this setting again. Verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Now, we'll go back. I didn't read all verse 25. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Talking about these unmarried young people still living in your home. Verse 26, I suppose that this is good for the present distress. I say that's good for a man so to be. In this world that we live in, it's not a bad thing, he says, to not be married. It's not a terrible thing. Now again, we live in an entirely different world. It's hard for us to fathom this. But in just years after this, I mean just years, not 100 years, just years after this, and 20 years after this was written, people were finding believers like you and I, finding them and taking their children, their infants, and swinging their heads against walls. 20 years after this is written, there was a great persecution coming. They were taking, Nero would, and he would take, you know, a believer, a young man, and take him and then take and impale him in a spike. And I hate, you know, you shouldn't talk about this. This is history. And leave him out on the roadside to warn anyone else who thought about being a Christian. That's the world they lived in. So you can understand why he says in this present distress, it may not be a bad thing. Because you're living in a time when there's going to be great sorrow, great heartache, and all these things are going to happen. So he gives the setting. And then you see the statement in verse number 26 at the end. He said, I say that it is good for a man so to be. It's okay not to be married. And I would just throw that out again. It's okay not to be married. You know, we kind of put peer pressure on everyone. You know, that, you know, if you're 19 and you're not engaged, what's wrong with you? It's okay not to be married. God will work in his timing. The only thing that matters is that our children are serving God. As long as they're serving God, God will direct in his timing his will in their life. So be careful, church. Be careful. With our young people, we have quite a few singles in our church. We have young people that are coming up, a lot of young people, that in the next 4 years are going to be out of high school. You know, don't keep running up to them, you know, as soon as they graduate. Who are you marrying? Why aren't you married yet? Well, and I already gave you that answer, right, everybody that's single? I'm waiting on God. Don't put that, we just kind of seem to want to put that pressure on them. Let God handle that. But you see now the setting and the statement, it's fine. Then you see the satire in verse number 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Paul knew the way you guys are. The way we all are, right? He just said, in this present distress, it is not a bad thing not to be married. Knowing the world that you live in, he knew that there were some sitting in that church who said, yep, did you hear that, honey? In this world that we live in, it's rough. I think we need to separate, right? It's terrible. But there were people like that. There still are people like that. You're all staring at me, right? There still are people like that, right? You know, some people who just need to work on their marriage, when they find a loophole, they want to jump in it. But, you know, he says, no, if you're married, then you stay married. Again, verse number 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Wherever you find yourself, then just serve God. Again, the whole title of the message, bloom where you're planted. Then you see the summary of it in verse number 28. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Now, again, look what he says. If you're single, all right, fine, serve God. If you're married, fine, serve God. But if in this present distress God does bring you someone to marry, then great, you've not sinned. That's a wonderful thing. Everybody with me? Now the reason I have to stop here is because people use this verse out of context to make excuses of why anyone and everyone can get remarried. That's not the context of this verse. Paul is talking about these single people, amen? He's talking about those who are not married, living in the home, and how to address this. And so he goes on, we'll go on. You see the summary there again, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Understand that in the world that we're living in, Paul said, there may be trouble. That's not hard to figure out. You don't need a degree and master's degree in Bible studies to figure this out. It's a rough world that they were living in. And if you get married, Paul said, there could be problems. How did Paul know that? Because he was the one that went in and took moms away from their children. Remember his life? He went and arrested daddy and threw him in jail. He took mom and dad from the home and watched them get stoned. He knew the present distress they were in. And so he said, if you marry, if that's what God wants, that's wonderful. But he says there, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. So we go on, you see Paul's advice, and you see Paul's admonition in verses 29 to 35. First of all, concerning total commitment in verse number 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. You see, first of all, Paul says, look at the clock. Time is short. He says, first of all, we need to reassess our marriages. It remaineth that both that they that have wives be as though they had none. What's he saying there in verse number 29? But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they that had none. Again, he's telling us to, again, be careful in our homes. Because our homes, when I say reassess our marriage, I'm not talking about, you know, whether you should stay married or whatever the case. I mean this. What should happen in our home? My wife's sitting right here, right? My home ought to be about glorifying God. That's what my home needs to be about, is that our lives be for the purpose of glorifying God. Our goal is not to build the most stuff, gather the most money. Our goal should not be to make sure our children have, everything that the world has to offer. Our goal should be that we want to glorify God. And Paul says this now. Make sure your life's about glorifying God, because some of you that are married, verse 29, are going to be as those soon who aren't. Again, the verse, read it exactly. Where is it? Can I borrow your Bible, Courtney? You got a King James Bible? Good. All right, good. All right, good. Oops, sorry. All right, chapter 7, verse number 29. But this I say, brethren, that time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though that they that had none. It very well could be. Those of you that are married, you better be married for the glory of God. Because it could be that you'll be as one of those widowed soon. So this is a depressing chapter. Aren't you thankful we aren't living in that time, right? We're very blessed to live in the year 2018 in the United States of America. But at the same time, our marriages better be about glorifying God. Why would he make that statement? Because if that's not your drive in your marriage, it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. If that's not your goal in your marriage, you're going to have problems. So he says to reassess the purpose of your marriage, reassess your moods in verse number 30. It says there, and they that weep as though that wept not, and they that rejoice as though they and they that rejoice as though that rejoice not. In other words, hey, listen, it's time to be serious. If you're just going around with your head in the clouds thinking everything will be fine, you better get more serious. Or if you're someone who's depressed and say, this is a terrible time, you can't do nothing, it's time to get up. You just need to realize the time that you're in and live a steady life. Get control of your emotions. Be consistent in your life. Then he says you need to reassess your materialism. In verse number 30, the second part, says there, and they that buy as they that possess not. Realize that, because our time is short. Our time is short, so realize that gathering the most toys is not who determines who the winner is. Whoever has the most stuff, all that stuff isn't going to matter in eternity. So reassess that and then reassess your motives here in verse number 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it. What's Paul saying? We have to live in this world, but we shouldn't live for this world. We have to live in this world. We have a choice at that, but our goal should not be to live for all that's in the world. As John said, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So look at the clock, and then the end of verse number 31, look at the closet. He says, therefore, the fashion of this world passeth away. He's making his point here that the fads of this world and all the things of this world, they come and they go. We talked the other day how the riches make themselves wings and they fly away. I told my Sunday school class the other week that everything I have can be gone in a moment. And that's what Paul's saying in this passage. Now listen, if you're married, great. All the stuff you have, great. But understand this, that everything we have is from God, but everything we have can change in a moment. And all that matters is our relationship with the Lord. So you see here, he gives his total commitment. Look at the clock. And he says, concerning total commitment, and then secondly, concerning temporal cares. Verse 32 to 35, we're almost done. Concerning temporal cares, you see, first of all, a contrast considered in verse number 32. It says there, first of all, a message for men, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. He just gives a simple message for men. He said, you as men, you know, if you're married, then you need to take care of your family. We have to care for some of the things of the world even more. When you're married, you need to provide for your home. It's kind of a point in that passage right there. When Paul says you have to care for the things of the world, that means this, church, that every husband should provide to the best of his ability for his home. You got to provide. And girls, I would always encourage you that if some guy's too lazy to work and he's not going to provide before he's married, he's not going to provide after you get married. He ain't going to grow character overnight. So there ought to be some character there. God expects that in young men to be the provider for their home. But he's making the point saying, now, living in this world, as a married man, you're going to have to take care of those things. But those that are not married, you have more time for the Lord. So I look at our singles today and say this, designate that time for the Lord. Serve Him in this time. Because once you're married, men, you have to take care of your family. Not just that, but a message for ladies here in verse number 34. It says there is difference also between a wife, someone who's married, and a virgin, someone who's not. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. I'll just pause to our single young ladies and encourage you from the Word of God that God expects you to be holy in body and in spirit. You're all just staring at me tonight. Ladies that are not married, you should strive to be holy in body and spirit. In other words, on the outside and on the inside. For all those who would say, God only looks at the heart and that's all that matters, I would tell you that Paul said, contrary through the Holy Spirit, that yes, the heart matters, but the outside matters too. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. A lady that's not married should be putting her time forth and being holy in body and in spirit. Those that are married has to take care of the things of the world. In other words, they got to be the custodian there of the home and taking care of things and leading that home and guiding it as a mother should do. But also how she may please her husband. You men want me to stay there a while, right? Jordan said amen, right? Yeah. It's your biblical obligation to make your husband happy, right? Sweet teas and cornbread. That's not what it's talking about, all right? But your life is, as a wife, you should have a desire towards your children and your husband and your home. That's where your desire ought to be. I worry about ladies who have no desire to spend time with their husband and no desire to spend time with their children. There's something wrong in that heart. Because a married lady will have that. But she'll have a desire to please her husband and to take care of the home. You see this message for the ladies, then also the a contrast considered and then consecration demanded in verse number 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. All he is he's encouraging. Again, he's directing this not to the singles, but to their parents in this passage. So he's telling them, he's directing them, he says, now listen, I'm not trying to trip you up here, I'm not trying to be confusing, because he's just said it's great if you get married, it's great if you don't. He doesn't want to be confusing, but what he is saying is this, that listen, if they are in a position where they're not married, that's great. Then encourage them to be serving God even more. If they're about to get married, that's great, but consider them to fulfill their marriage responsibilities and to serve the Lord. But either way, it's wonderful. See, consecration is to be sold out. Then you have, lastly, Paul's acknowledgement in verse 36 to 40. We had Paul's admonition, and now we have Paul's acknowledgement. First of all, a father's duty. A father's duty to his unmarried. First of all, in verse number 36, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Again, I want to pause here and say this. You see a father in the New Testament having a part in making sure their children marry the right person. That's his biblical. He's telling them, you have a role here. Now, it's not a role where you go pick them out and, you know, you pay a dowry and whatever, they work out a deal when they're 6 years old, right? That's not at all what's being talked about. But young people, your parents are your number one counselor. I would not consider courting anyone until you first talk to your parents about it. They may know something or see something that needs to be brought to your attention. And I'll just look at you young people and tell you this. If in your heart you say, I'm not going to run that by my parents, then there's something wrong in your heart. Because you should want God's will above everything else. So you see, again, a parental role in this. And what he's telling this is here, he's telling the parent to have discretion. It may be, let's read verse 35 again, we'll just pause as we talk. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely, if you think, well, am I holding back my child? Am I being a burden to my child toward his virgin, toward that unmarried child at home? If my daughter here passes the flower of her age, in other words, she's getting beyond, you know, the teenage years. She's becoming a young woman now. You know, do I have an obligation now? Do I need to say, hey, I got to find her a husband, right? Or do I say, oh no, I'm keeping her at home. Nobody, yeah, you're never going to win my daughter's heart. But Paul's saying this, you need to use discretion. If they're still in the home when they're getting an older age, don't feel pressure that you have to go find them a husband quick. But don't feel pressure and don't think that you have to put some bubble around them either. They're getting older. They should have a walk with God. You should still play a part in this. But the two of you should be working together. So he gives a parental discretion here. Because the reality is this, there were some, obviously, in the church that were getting, you know, older, still living at home. And I have no idea how old they were. I'll just tell you what the Bible says, that they were passing the flower of her age. In other words, she wasn't a kid anymore. Now, what age is that? Whatever. But she wasn't a kid anymore. But mom and dad still had a role in this, but they shouldn't panic when they find themselves in this situation. They should just be encouraging their young ladies to keep serving God. You see a father's duty, then you see a wife's duty. In verse number 39, I guess I keep reading here, verse 37 first for the daddies. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. It's fine either way. But again, you say, why do you say doing better? Living in that time of great distress that they were in, it's probably going to save some heartache. So now to the ladies, now to the wives, in verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So we have some instructions here. First of all, the father's duty to his virgins, but then the wife's duty to her vows. And he ends this section on marriage talking about the wife's responsibility as being a wife. And again, you see again in verse number 39, I'll stop and say it again because God believes in it, the permanence of marriage. It says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, till death do you part. The permanence of marriage, and you see permission for remarriage, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. The only thing that breaks the marriage bond is death. And when there is a death, that person is free to remarry. And I'll just throw this out there at you, all right? Because everybody has different opinions and you all get all ruffled up your feathers about this, all right? But once there is a death, they're free to be married. Be that 20 years later or be it a year later, but they're free to be married. So you're just terrible, right? Trust me, I don't ever want to remarry again. I have the perfect wife. But the fact is this, if I die, I've told her, remarry if God leads someone to your life. He won't be as good looking. He won't be as funny. He won't be as smart. But he'll be all right, all right? But the fact is this, when there's a death, there is freedom to remarry. But there is one stipulation. Everybody see it? Only in the Lord. So I'd say this to everybody real quick, because this just has to be said, because it's in the Bible, right? A lot of times, older people, when a spouse dies, and if should they ever, you know, begin to think, you know what, I want to get remarried, do not compromise in marrying someone that is not saved. That's wrong. We already told our young people, you have no business even considering anyone unless they're a believer. So too with a widow. Only if they're a believer. That's what the Bible says, right? Everybody nod your head. Only in the Lord. If you want to argue that, you lose, because the Bible's right, all right? Only in the Lord. So you see the permanence of marriage, the permission for remarriage, and then you see a pleasantness of being unmarried. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Again, living in this time, if you're a widow and you don't get remarried, it may be saving from some heartache there too. Again, not because a husband's a bad thing in this situation, but because of the present distress that they lived in. It could be a difficult time. A lot of people take 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Church, a lot of people take a lot of verses out of context in this chapter. But you have to stop and study it verse by verse, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Christ will never, never say something in one place and something different in another place. If there's a contradiction in this book, then we have nothing. So you must compare Scripture with Scripture. And Paul here does not contradict anything that God has given us. He only adds to it and reinforces what the Lord had already given. So in a nutshell, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, however you find yourself, if you're married, you and your spouse serve God with all you've got. If you're single at Kazadlo Baptist Temple, then you just keep serving God and focus on your walk with the Lord. If you are interested in getting married, then you only have a concern and an interest in someone who is a believer. And you should seek counsel from the authorities in your life. And all those counsels should agree on that if they're the right kind of counselors. If you're widowed, then serve God with all you've got. If God brings someone else into your life and they're saved, that's fine to be remarried. If you find yourself married to someone who's not a believer, because either one of two things, you were lost before you got saved, or you had strayed far from God and married someone that you should not have married at that time, then you do your best to make that marriage work. You stay married. You be the best Christian wife or husband wherever you find yourself, and your godliness should point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But wherever you find yourself, serve God with all you've got. If you're a Jew, serve God. If you're a Gentile, serve God. If you're a servant, serve God. However you find yourself, just serve God. Let's pray. Father,